Thanks, Graham and Jackie. Hey, everyone. My name is Lee. I want to add my welcome to Mix this morning. To you guys here, but also you guys watching on the live stream. Sorry, let me just get myself set up. We're talking about faithfulness, and I'd love it if you would turn back to the book of Hosea. I hope you're excited about that, if you had to pick between 2 Timothy and Hosea. I don't know. But yeah, turn back to Hosea 3, because we're going to be spending more of our time there. And we're talking about faithfulness. So I think you would notice that we do value faithfulness as people in general. We value faithfulness, even in the very little things. So if we say we'll take out the rubbish, but we don't take out the rubbish, there's disappointment. If we tell our kids we're going to watch a movie this afternoon, but something comes up and they don't get to watch a movie, oh boy. When our government don't keep their promises, we're disappointed. Now, some of us will support a sporting team even though they're doing terribly. Maybe year after year, we'll still turn up to their games, we'll buy the membership, we'll wear their jersey to church with pride. And there's something really admirable about that. Good on you. Your team's a bunch of losers, but you're faithful. You're faithful. But even being faithful to ourselves is difficult. I mean, we're 9 days into our New Year's resolutions, if you like to do those. And my guess is that many of us have eaten the chocolate and spent the time on our phone that we promised ourselves we wouldn't. We make promises to others and to ourselves, and we're very good at breaking them. What do I think about when I think about faithfulness? This guy is what I think about when I think about faithfulness. That's my brother. He is my older brother, and he is a Formula One fanatic. But even more than that, he is a Ferrari fanatic. He is so loyal to Ferrari. I'll try and explain just how loyal he is. There's been a few instances where there's been a driver that he's hated because they're beating Ferrari. And then when they've joined Ferrari the next season, he's ended up loving them. So he hated these guys, Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel. He absolutely hated them. They couldn't do a thing right in his eyes. But then they joined Ferrari, and he loves them. He thinks they're the bee's knees. He supports them. He buys their gear, buys their, like, model cars. But then they leave Ferrari again, and he hates them again. And again, they can't do a single thing right. So you see, our faithfulness to one thing will often mean having to be unfaithful to a whole bunch of other things. We're all people of faithfulness. We're loyal and devoted to something or someone. But when the Bible talks about faithfulness as a fruit of the Holy Spirit that it's meant to produce in our lives, what is it talking about? Is it saying we should be the most loyal employee, spouse, friend, customer at our local cafe, and sporting fan? Is that what it's talking about? Well, we're going to dive into God's Word and find out what the Bible is getting at when it urges us to be faithful, to be producing faithfulness in our lives. The first thing that stood out as I looked at this topic, as I looked at the Bible, is that people are unfaithful. When I think about ourselves and faithfulness, you and I are prone to wander. I don't know if you've read the book of Hosea, but the book of Hosea for me has one of the most confronting ways of describing our sin. It's, if you actually think about it, it's difficult to take. So that's where we're going this morning, into difficult territory. It's not just, sin isn't just doing the wrong thing. It's not just breaking some rules or not meeting up to some holy standard. It's adultery. Yeah, it's cheating on God. That's the sort of unfaithfulness. So we read in chapter 3 that Hosea had to go back to his wife, but in chapter 1, the context was God asked Hosea go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, my people are guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Hosea, as God's prophet, is told by God, I want you to experience and my people to see what their unfaithfulness to me is like. God told Hosea to marry someone who had a reputation for and was guaranteed to be unfaithful, because God had committed himself to people who are unfaithful. God chose to show love to people like you and me, who he knew would be grossly unfaithful to him. When we reject God, the way that the book of Hosea describes it is we're leaving him to go to bed with other gods. We prostitute ourselves to our money, our jobs, our reputation, our comforts, and countless other things. And we're promiscuous in doing that, in our unfaithfulness. There's not just one love, there's many. We cheat on God, and we go back to God when it suits us, but then when our other loves come calling, we run to them and leave God high and dry. Now, if you're feeling uncomfortable at this point, that's what this is meant to do. I don't know about you, but there are particular lines in songs we sing here at church that always stand out to me every time we sing them. And it's almost like God has sat up the back there on the computer and put in bold particular words and put written Lee on the screen and an arrow to them, kind of like this. I don't know if it works. There you go. It's crossed out. It's meant to be unlined. But one of the lines is from Come Thou Fount, where it says, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. That line always stands out for me. It always gets me. Our unfaithfulness isn't just having a break from God. Our wandering isn't just wandering down to CZAC or Common, whatever you're most faithful to. It's not just having a break. No, it's adultery on the honeymoon. It's wandering to another love. It's spending the night with someone else, someone who doesn't love us. Hosea has got to be the most unfortunate prophet in the Old Testament. I don't know, maybe you can debate that with me afterwards. He didn't only have to say these words. God said, you need to live it. You need to experience it so that all the people around you will see what it's like for me to be your God. And then, we get to chapter 3, as his wife is spending the night waiting to give herself to another man, in chapter 3, God tells Hosea, go to her and show your love to her. Not wait till she comes crawling back, until she fixes herself up, until she gets a proper job. No, he has to go to her in her adultery. You know, imagine the embarrassment as Hosea walks down the street past all the men that his wife has slept with as they mutter and murmur, I can't believe he married her. He knew she was like this. I can't believe he's going back for her. With people staring, laughing, rolling their eyes, he gently takes her hand and declares his undying love to her. Maybe gets down on one knee. I don't know. And it tells us in verse 2 that he buys her back. And I looked into the price. Like, what's the significance of the price? The significance is she was cheap. At that point, she was almost worthless and unwanted by anyone else. Which lady do you want? That one? No, that one. The one at the back. The one that no one else wants. Probably because of maybe disease or how disfigured she'd become because of her life of prostitution. Hosea wants back his wife, who is unwanted, as the crowd mock and utter in disbelief. And this picture This is the love and faithfulness of our God. I don't know about you, but when I read this, when I think about this, it's almost like there's a rock in my stomach, because this is how God has loved me. This is God's faithfulness to you and me. I'm that adulterous wife. And when you throw in the reality that God's Son died for me, it's almost too much to bear. And God doesn't wait till we come crawling back. He doesn't wait till we fix up ourselves. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And more song lyrics come to mind. There could be many. Oops, this one. I don't think we sing this at morning church or night church. Anyway, it says, "What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Our sins are thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more." God is so loyal, so faithful to himself, to his promises, to his love, that no matter how far we stray and wander, he will keep pursuing us. He will keep looking for us, and he will never let us go. But this also means that God is faithful to his promises to judge and punish those who continue to reject him. He sent his Son, and if we put our trust and hope in Jesus' death and resurrection, we can be sure of our salvation. We can be sure he will never let us go. He will never abandon us, no matter how much we wander and stuff up. But if we reject his Son and what he's done, if we completely disown God, if we say in our hearts, "I want nothing to do with you. I don't need you, God," then we can be sure God will be faithful to himself, to his promises, to his word. Those of us who completely disregard and disown God, we will meet God at the end of our lives, and we can be sure that he'll say to us, "Away from me. I never knew you." 2 Timothy 2, which was read for us, says this and captures it well. "If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." So we're faithful, and God is always faithful. He is faithful in the face of our promiscuous unfaithfulness. But what sort of faithfulness are we called to as Christians then? Those who have God's Spirit dwelling in us, leading us, shaping us. What sort of faithfulness are we to see in our lives? Well, first and foremost, it's faithfulness to God. The faithfulness that Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Enoch, bunch of other Old Testament people were commended for was walking faithfully with God. You know, we will stuff up. I stuff up all the time. I will run to other loves. We're prone to wander. But we will trust him and rest in his grace, in his forgiveness. We will come to him when we're weary and burdened by our own unfaithfulness. Here are some more song lyrics. "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander." If we want to grow in faithfulness, if we want to be producing this fruit, then we should be praying that God walks us to places we could never go in our own strength. Places where we have no choice but to trust and lean on God. Growth in faithfulness to God cannot happen if we're actually being faithful to our own ease and comforts and plans and dreams. So does growth in faithfulness mean being a loyal employee, spouse, friend, customer at our local cafe, or to our sporting team? Should a Christian be known for being faithful to these things? No. Christian faithfulness is to God first and foremost. And that's what we should be known for. Yes, sometimes being faithful to God will mean being faithful to our work, to our spouse, friend, and team. But sometimes it'll mean not being faithful to those things in order to be faithful to God. And so it's worth asking ourselves, it's worth reflecting, who or what am I most loyal and faithful to? Is it myself, my own comforts, my career that I've worked so hard for, my home, my reputation, my bank account, or even to my family? Because in the end, it's better for my wife and my kids and anyone I know, even myself, that I'm most faithful to God. But second, faithfulness to God will mean being faithful to displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to others. If the fruit of the Spirit is really one fruit, I know we've kind of talked about this a lot with this series, but if it's really one fruit, if we really can't just pick and choose something off the list that we will show and we can ignore the rest, then each characteristic, though distinct, overlaps with the others and really are never displayed in isolation. So we should be faithful in love, faithful in joy, faithful in peace, faithful in patience, in kindness, in goodness. But let's just take a step back. Why are we being urged to keep in step with the Spirit? Why should we be producing fruit that is like Jesus? Well, it's because our purpose as Christians is to point people to God. An unkind Christian will turn people off God. A person who speaks the truth without love is muddying the truth. A Christian who is always stirring up trouble at work or school instead of encouraging peace is not embodying the gospel in their lives. We display these fruit so that people are captivated by the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness of God. So this means there should be a certain flavor to the faithfulness we show to others. If we're going to be faithful friends, employees, team members, then it should mirror the sort of faithfulness God has shown us. The sort of faithfulness that Hosea displayed as he pushed through the snickering crowd of onlookers and took back his unfaithful wife. The sort of faithfulness that led Jesus through a snickering crowd to humble himself on a cross for humanity, a humanity that couldn't give a stuff about God. So faithfulness at work is being kind to a team member who is struggling. Your goal isn't to try and get ahead and push others aside. Faithfulness might look like not climbing the career ladder in order to show goodness to others. It might mean leaving work earlier than you're expected because there's someone in your life who needs your help, your kindness, your goodness. Being a faithful friend doesn't mean finding a few people who are cool and who you like and exclusively spending time with them, forming a clique that others can't break into. No, it's persisting in loving those who don't necessarily love you back the way you want, who are a bit clueless or awkward. This might be a strange way to... I'm going to finish up this talk. Strange way to end this talk. But I think one thing that would be helpful for all of these, like fruit of the Spirit, but particularly maybe for this one, is to ask someone close to us, someone we trust, someone we can hear a hard word from, and ask them who or what they think we're most loyal to. Because I think it could be one of those issues that's a blind spot. I think it's often hard to see it ourselves. And if this person loves you enough to be honest, don't defend yourself. Just first reaction, don't defend yourself. Just take it, pray about it, reflect upon it. You know, it might be the big thing that is stopping you or I from walking faithfully with God. And this is what we want. You know this. You're like, we do. We want to walk faithfully with God. We want to be loyal to the one who has rescued us from our gross unfaithfulness, to the one who relentlessly pursues us no matter how far we stray, who will never let us go, who loved us well before we were even aware of him. We want to be faithful to our great God. We know that's what's best. So let me pray. Father, sometimes we just cannot grasp your faithfulness and love to us. It's more amazing than we can ever imagine. I pray as we sit here for the rest of this morning, as we sing songs, maybe as we talk afterwards over morning tea, as we spend time with you and others in the weeks to come, may we continue to grasp the height and depth of your love for us in Jesus, your faithfulness to your promises to us. Help us to find great comfort in your faithfulness, that though we wander, you will never let us go. And God, may through your Spirit, he produce that sort of faithfulness in us, to you and to others. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.